I'm not going to be referencing a recent current event in pop culture too much, but we are talking about humor and when it works and when it doesn't. And I should be writing season 18, episode 26.
Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing. I should be submitting my next draft. But I'm sitting home watching the doctor.
And hi there, welcome to I Should Be Writing. This is the podcast for wannabe fiction writers, usually science fiction. I am your host, Murr. I've been doing this show since 2005, and chronicling from when I hadn't sold anything to being an award-nominated author, and all the crap in between. This show is live on Twitch Tuesday, Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and I talk craft, I talk business a little bit, and then mostly we talk about all the crap that you and the world put in your way towards a writing career or any kind of creative career, because we are sometimes our worst bullies. So that's what this show does. Also, I still have a lot of those self-doubts too, so I kind of work through them in this show. So welcome. We always start out the show with my news, my coming to terms. No, that's not right. Anyway, since this is a show urging you to write, I try to start out with how much I'm writing. So yesterday I had a good day with like 1600 words, but today it was only 300 some. And here's why. Here's why. I had line edits to do for my novel, the one that's coming out in October. And in doing so, I realized that I have many, many events referenced in the past, and I needed to make absolutely sure that my timeline was right. And it's a lot harder than you'd think. So I use, this is not an endorsement or a paid sponsorship, I'm just saying what I'm using. I use Eon Timeline 2, which helps track various people's timelines and events and stuff. I'm probably using it wrong, but I'm using it to where it works for me. I'm just realizing that I'm doing everybody's individual timelines, and a lot of people have the same incident, like one of the major incidents in the past being first contact with aliens. Everyone's got that in their timeline, so I can make sure that it fit with whatever their personal story is. But I probably shouldn't have to put that down for every character. I'm just realizing that now. But I don't care. So, timeline is fixed. Page edits are turned in. And, yeah, I'm hoping to get lots of words. Tomorrow I actually have my appointment, so I'm gonna go, oh great, now I can't remember. I don't think I said that. I don't think I said that before we started recording. Sorry, I've been up since early because I thought I had an appointment today. And instead it's tomorrow, so I get to get up early and do it all over again tomorrow, but actually drive to the blood test. So I'm hoping I will come home and be very productive. Did have a weird thought today. One of the reasons why people with ADHD, I am not a doctor, by the way, one of the reasons why people with ADHD wait until the last minute is last-minute panic is a dopamine hit to our brains. And I'm trying to figure out how my brain is enjoying this involuntary rush of hormones when my voluntary personal mind or conscious mind is saying horrible things about myself. I don't understand how those two things can work together. So, like, I'm saying horrible things to myself while the brain's just getting this hit of dopamine as I hurry to get stuff done. I had another project that needed something done before I stream today. So I was sitting there saying horrible things to myself and knowing that my brain was receiving the hormones it wanted and thinking, you can't enjoy this, right? Right, brain? So yeah, going to good news. I don't have anything, I don't think, but the dog is recovering. Thank you to those of you in the chat who were asking. Last week, my dog had a fun medical issue where it was a rush to the vet to take care of a foot injury. I won't go into the details because I already have a couple of times. So we went to an escape room with some friends this past weekend and we were telling this story. And I mentioned how I tend to faint when I try to deal with animals that are injured. At least I've done it twice in my life. Granted, I was much younger then, but it's kind of twice made me think somebody else needs to get closer to this. I can see that it's happening and I can deal with it by, you know, putting her in the car and taking her to the vet. But the vet wanted a picture because, you know, they were going to work really hard to fit us in to a full day. So they wanted to make sure that she needed to go in. And I just begged my husband to take the picture because I didn't want to get that close. And now the picture's on my phone because I keep forgetting to take it off. But we did have a friend want to see it this weekend, so yeah, I showed him. He was happy. I don't know. But anyway, my good news pretty much about the dog. She's doing better. Numbers Ninja went back to school, which makes me sad. And work continues on the book. Checking in with chat to see what good news is going on. Ahem, award-winning author since you got the Astounding Award before it was astounding, didn't you? Okay, Underpope, yes. I have won awards, writing awards. I won the Astounding Award for Best New Writer, and I've won the Manly Wade Wellman Award and the Parsec Awards. I did win a Hugo. That was for podcasting. It's definitely not... I definitely don't add that as secondary to any of my other projects. It just feels weird saying, I won a Hugo for writing, even though marketing loves to say Hugo award-winning author. But apparently my friend and co-host Matt for Ditch Diggers gets crap for that because he did not win the Hugo for his writing. You know, it's marketing. We can't control everything that they say. Starlight Green, two more rejections, rewrite submitted. That's fantastic. And we're hitting the, all the buttons that I hope still work. There we go. 103 and 104 rejections for team rejection. Awesome. And it worked. Oh, thank goodness. Yes. Let's see. Fire Rider. Good news for me. Got a rejection to add to team count this year. Well done, Fire Rider. Hitting that button again. Three rejections for Underpope. Wow. Y'all are really getting to work. I'm so impressed. Hitting the yay button and hitting the reject button. Space Valkyrie's got a rejection on that 100 word thing. Someone in your Discord linked. Fun challenge though. That's awesome. Congratulations, Space Valkyries. Very happy that you submitted. And congrats on your rejection. You helped team rejection along. I don't know what exactly we're going for, but I'm just so happy that it's March and y'all have worked so hard to already get 108 rejections. That's amazing. I think that's everybody. If I did not mention you, please speak up. Yay, team rejection indeed. And if you are listening to this later and you want to tell me about your good news, sales or rejections, just email me and say good news in the subject line, mightymur@gmail.com. And that's mur with one R. I'm always confused when people get my emails and they see my name and they still spell it wrong to reply. I'm so excited for Ditch Diggers on Monday. Yes, Ditch Diggers is coming back Monday, April 4th, noon Eastern time. Matt and I will be together again, and I'm very much looking forward to it. I do want to talk a little bit about the book club. Thanks to the people in the Discord, we're calling it the Spoilers Club because it's... Rule one of Spoiler Club is that you don't talk about Spoiler Club. What the goal of this book club is to take an author's book and read it, obviously, and then we're going to talk about it with the author, but on the level of craft. We're going to talk to them. It's like, how did you figure out the twist at the end? When did you know that was going to be the twist? Or did you know that this thing that happened way in the back that everything seemed to hinge on, did you know that when you started? How was your outline to this? Just various questions like that, because there's so many times I interview people and I can't let them talk. They're not going to want to talk about the end of their book because that's spoilers and they want people to buy the book. So what we're doing is we're saying, go out and buy the book and then we'll read it. And then we'll have the author on. And it'll be a special stream probably in the evening, Eastern time. So it's going to be outside of normal I Should Be Writing time. It's probably going to have the explicit tag so we could just ask questions. If you support via the Patreon, we're going to have a special chat room open for the book club so that you can listen at the same time and watch and submit questions. So I didn't want to make it solely for Patreon supporters, but I did want to give them a little bit of a perk. I'm going to be doing this every 2 months, I think. So the first one we're doing is, I'm going to get it wrong because I always worry about getting things wrong, and I worry about it so much. Sometimes I make myself get things wrong because it's a Lily Lanoff book. It's the retelling of Three Musketeers. It's either One for All or All for One. I think it's One for All. I got a coin flip. If Ahmad could confirm that for me, because I should have mentioned it. Anyway, so that's the book club. If you have any questions, email me. I'm going to be, probably next week, I'm going to be doing a giveaway. I'm going to do one here and one specifically for the podcast. And we're going to get books purchased at my local friendly local bookstore sent to you. And then either Lily or myself will send you book plates so it can be signed books. So, definitely One for All just bought it. Thank you so much, Under Pope. I appreciate you checking that out. Thank you, Lee. One for All by Lily Lanoff. LILLIELAINOFF. So I was excited about this book since I first heard about it. So I'm very excited to be, she's excited to be on the show for this specific thing. So it'll be our first. I don't know if I've ever been at a book club. I know my neighbor used to have one and I always felt kind of annoyed that she never invited me to be a part of it. And then she made a dinner club. And they would go out to like one nice area restaurant a month. And I wasn't invited to that either. And then I started to question myself and my self-worth as a friend. We've gone to a dark place. Okay. Second thing I wanted to talk about, people have been talking in the chat, is... Okay. NaNoWriMo. Camp NaNoWriMo is coming up in April. I usually make a cabin for I Should Be Writing and then I forget about it because I don't always do it. But considering I'm working on a book, I might need to look into it. I have, I'll try to look into it and make an I Should Be Writing cabin. At least, even if I'm not there, y'all who know each other can work together. Yes, it starts April 1st. And that's not a joke. It doesn't have the rigorous goal setting that November does, or the same goal that everyone's working towards. It's more of a help you finish a project kind of goal. So people will go in with different word count goals. But yeah, I'll get that done. Should be, I'll confirm it on Thursday. And I guess that's it for news and good news. There are many reasons I'm not going to get into the details of what happened at the Oscars. Many of them are, I'm white, I'm able-bodied, I'm never been insulted in front of millions of people before, never had to stand up to a spouse in front of millions, stand up for a spouse in front of millions of people. It's just so much outside my lane. But a lot of times this happens when comedians get yelled at or get canceled, as they say, because pretty much everyone who's whined about being canceled to have a bigger audience since they're canceling or whatever it is. But sometimes there's humor that's funny, and then there's humor that's funny and it might make you laugh, but someone's getting hurt. And so the term punching up or punching down has come into play. And that's when you make fun of a person in a more marginalized community than yours. That's not okay. Those jokes often rely on stereotypes. They rely on hurtful racism or homophobia or sexism. And so people who experience that all the time or frequently then experience it when they're supposed to be enjoying something. It's like mean teasing, and people say, oh, it was just a joke. And I'm like, for whom? Who's laughing? Because if you're the only one laughing, then it's not a joke. Punching down is like people already have it hard and you're making it harder. Punching up is the fool who gets to make fun of the king. The king's not going to be hurt by what the fool says at all. And I'm not equating marginalized people with the, well, I am, but man, I always feel like I'm going to step in something here. When, I'll keep with the thing, I'll keep with the metaphor, because it's like if a rival king says something terribly rude to the king, that's like, that's bad. That's a terrible war type thing. I'm speaking broadly. But when someone who the king does not see as someone who can hurt him as a powerful ruler, powerful male ruler, he's not hurt. It doesn't change anything. People who make fun of themselves or their own group, that's a pass. They can make whatever jokes they want. Their own group might get angry with them. And some, yeah, speaking of what I said at the beginning, sometimes you simply do not have to join the hot takes brigade, truly. Yeah, I don't have a hot take. I mean, my main thought was actually, wow, I actually saw something live that I'd never watched the Oscars live. And I can't believe, like, I saw it happen in real time. I don't know why that was just interesting to me. I really don't know why. Useful here is the benign validation theory of humor. I'm not sure what that is, Nobilis. Punching up is more likely to be benign than punching down nowadays. I see. Yes. Yes. Make difference of making fun of Jeff Bezos and Jeff Bezos making fun of you specifically. Pretty sure the man can screw up your life. If he wants to, he can. It's like when authors have to realize this, because we have a position of power over readers, and because most of us have larger followings than the average person. So someone writes a review that hurts our feelings, we can then say to our fans, get them. And people have done this. And the fan is like probably somebody with 20 followers who just really didn't like your book, which they're allowed to do. And, which is another reason why we need to do this. The thing is, there are so many easy jokes out there. And so much that people with power could do with their power. Forcing it into worse, like pushing this on easy jokes that rely on stereotypes. Pushing it on just somebody with a greater following online attacking someone who doesn't have anybody. You got to remember how much power you have, and you often probably don't think you have as much power as you do. Especially those of us who are white. Let's just say it. How does the Oscar incident fit in? Up or down or equal? Mind you, Chris Rock was totally wrong with that joke. I'm assuming you're saying that because both people involved were black. It's punching down because black women don't get a lot of respect. Everything from, and I'm talking, this has been studied scientifically. People in hospitals assume that black women can take more pain than white women, and so their needs are not met because of this assumption. They're people, they feel pain. They're just, has nothing to do with that. Also, it was ableist thing, although I hear Chris Rock did not know that, but it was still an ableist joke. The joke was about Jada Pinkett Smith's bald head. She's bald because she has alopecia, which is a hair loss immunodeficiency. So it was both punching down on black women and ableist joke regarding her being bald. You know, people say that, you know, it's just a joke, just deal with it. It's like, women's hair, it's a big deal. It's so ingrained in our society that people think, oh, it's just hair, how could it be a big deal? You know, for wanting to wear their hair natural, sometimes black people are fired or kicked out of school or feel forced to wear their hair like other races. You don't see a lot of bald women. You just don't. And if you do, you usually assume someone's sick, because why would she choose that? I mean, there's a lot of society baggage going on with a bald woman. It's not just a person who doesn't have hair on her head. There's a lot more going on there. So it's, instead of wearing a wig, she has been public about this and talked about the struggles she's had. And so that makes it that much more painful. She was really, really wearing that dress. And can I just say, it's really weird that the beautiful fairy guy who starred in Dune was not wearing a shirt, but he was showing about as much skin down to his navel as a lot of other people. But people weren't talking about Kristen Stewart because she was wearing her shirt open to the navel. They were talking about her shorts. But then a guy doesn't wear a shirt and people lose their minds. Sorry, shouldn't have said it that way, but people got all concerned. It was weird. Fashion's weird, people. It's weird. Anyway, I said I wasn't going to talk about it, but you did ask, and there's lots of nuances here. There's lots of racial and sexist and ableist nuances that people don't want to hear about sometimes, just think it's just hair. But, you know, making fun of her was pretty much like making fun of someone in a wheelchair or any person with a disability. So let's go back to writing. Leaning on stereotypes is easy. And frankly, it's easy for those of us at the beginning of the career, because, you know, you write what comes to mind, and often what comes to mind is the easiest thing. But as you get better and write more, you realize there's got to be nuances. I've talked about this person before, and this is a slight spoiler, but a very slight spoiler. Lucy Foley writes books, And a lot of times when people write mysteries, women are the victims and there's sexual assault somewhere in there. Very frequently, even when they're written by women. And Lucy Foley has not put that into her books. I think women have died, but there hasn't been sexual assault. And even when it's sort of implied that that's the secret people are holding, it's not. It doesn't turn out to be that way because she's actually thought in detail about what are other bad things people can do to other people to make them want to kill you. And it's refreshing to not have that classic, oh, let's see, what's the worst thing we can do? I mean, there's somebody whose career is ruined by a man, and that's her motive. Yeah, there's so really, there are other things you can make fun of. I was watching the whole several awkward moments at the Oscars besides the slap. And one of them was Chris Rock. No, I don't know if it was Chris Rock. I can't remember who was doing it. I know there were a lot of people, a lot of comedians presenting. But they were saying that it's been so long, that this show's been going on so long or something, that and then they showed J.K. Simmons, and they said, this is what Timothy, the guy who starred in Dune, looks like now. And, you know, you're kind of making fun of an old white guy, and I thought it was funny. I'm pretty sure J.K. Simmons was not hurt by that. Anyway. You think about the power of the person speaking and the power of the person they're speaking about. I'm still trying to understand humor. How it works and why it works. There's a roast, which I think has different rules. Roasts are, you're up for, it's fair game. Which is why I think they're kind of mean, but there was, apparently comedians do like roast battles. I don't have Comedy Central or Comedy Network or whatever they're calling it these days anymore. But I did see I believe it was a man with cerebral palsy and a trans woman doing a roast, like a roast of each other. And it was brutal and funny. And it worked because they were both, neither of them was punching down. They were just punching. I'll see if I can remember what it is. It's a lot. But I liked watching that to try to learn a little bit more. I mean, sometimes if you have something very obvious that is not like other people, making fun of it first is your best defense. And this isn't advice. Anyway, I take everything I say with a grain of salt. I'm speaking a lot about black issues here. I'm not black, but I try to understand about humor and why certain jokes just shouldn't happen. And if you can tell a joke and not mock somebody for their race or being a different socioeconomic level or their gender or whatever, it might take a little bit of work, but it'll be funny. If you watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, there's never a joke about Captain Holt being gay. The only jokes about it are when one of the notoriously old detectives were just like, wait, Captain Holt's not gay. And they look at him and he's like, Captain Holt's gay? And the younger woman's like, seriously, man, just retire. That's like, I haven't watched every single season, but they've never made a joke. Even when there was an episode where the captain had put together an African-American gay and lesbian police group. And it had a very long name. And it was called Aglinicpa. because he wanted to just make it short. But then a very young, very attractive policeman comes in to say, you know, I really admire what you've done with this, but I wanted to let you know I'm going to be running for president because I think it could be, I could take it in a new direction, blah, blah, blah. He's just doing the courtesy of, I'm letting you know that this is going to happen. And in almost any other show, the fact that he was a young, hot guy would have been part of the discussion or part of the plot. And that was never part of the plot. The captain wanted to destroy him. I believe those are the words he said, actually. So, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a show that can laugh at, that can make better choices. Ugh! Words are hard, people. I'm sorry. The writers looked for funnier jokes that don't punch down. I will say one thing. There is an early episode that is fatphobic. That was not cool. I remember trying to tell a queer friend of mine that Brooklyn Nine-Nine was great because it had a lot of inclusivity. And she's like, yeah, I heard there was a pretty bad fatphobic episode. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. So, yeah, it's hard because you want to make people laugh, but there's a difference between having a thick skin and being able to laugh at yourself and being punched repeatedly in the mouth. But anyway, this is awkward for me. I hope that I made some sort of sense. But I feel strongly about it because humor is difficult. You can learn it. But there are people who are effortlessly funny and can improvise easily. And there are some people who have to work very hard to make the jokes happen. Remember, when you read a book like the Kaiju Preservation Society or The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, those are not the first drafts. Douglas Adams might have had first drafts. Okay, Hitchhikers was wrong. There are people who are effortlessly humorous. But the rest of us might need a couple of drafts. I think I said this in an earlier podcast where David Sedaris did not get as good response to some of his newer essays as he had in the past. And part of that is because he couldn't travel during the pandemic and he would test his humor on the audiences and get feedback and tweak as he went. And then when he was happy with it, that's what would go into the books. But he couldn't travel. So he missed that apparently vital step to his editing process. Yeah, David Sedaris' humor is very, very strange. But mostly he's talking about how much of a terrible person he is to think these things. Yeah. I should probably study him. But anyway, I recommend the book The Hidden Tools of Comedy by Stephen Kaplan. That is what really helped me with writing more, and that's more of writing like a humorous plot rather than just a joke here and there. But yeah, the Stephen Kaplan book, recommend it. If you want to support this show and perhaps get me a book on vocabulary or something, you can support me at patreon.com/mightymur or Ko-fi, ko-fi.com/mightymur. I stream on Twitch Tuesday, Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, where we go live. We talk with the people in the chat, and then we talk more with the people in the chat after we're finished in what I'm calling the BarCon. Remember, pick up One for All by Lily Lanoff if you would like to participate in the book club. I will have more information next time. That'll be like end of May, end of April. I'm going to give people enough time to read it. I am also considering doing a trilogy, which will be a lot of work and a lot of time, but I would love to talk to people how they create trilogies, because I've never done one. Find me on any podcatcher, search for I Should Be Writing, search for Mer Lafferty. I've been around a long time. A very long time. So long. Yeah, merverse.com, and I will see you on Thursday. And until then, you should be writing. I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at merverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support.
Doctor Who.